Hey, as you probably noticed, I'm not in the middle school today. It's because I'm preaching up in the big church right now, so I can't be in two places at once. That would be a problem. So with that, I decided to do this little experiment and try video teaching. We'll see how that turns out, see if it's a horrible failure or not. If you hear any odd noises in the background, it's because Jennifer's right over here making a pumpkin pie because it's Thanksgiving. So this is a big experiment. We'll see how it turns out. Anyway, we're continuing our series called He Did What, and we're in the fifth week of this series, and it's all about looking and seeing what Jesus did, what he taught, and we're just trying to differentiate between what we see in the culture, what we see in movies, what we see in magazines, what TV shows are saying, what the History Channel is saying, versus what the Bible actually says about who Jesus was and what he did. And that's what this series is really all about. Since you guys have already read the passage, I'm just going to kind of dive straight into this thing. Back when I was in high school, I would sit around the table and occasionally we would get into it about the Bible because they knew I was a Christian and there was another guy I was friends with that was a Christian. And then there was a bunch of guys that weren't Christians that were around us. And it seemed like the only verse of the Bible any of us knew and had memorized was, "Judge not, lest ye be judged yourselves." And so we would just throw that around. And of course it was in the King James. And we're just throwing out, "Judge not, lest ye be judged yourself." Anytime anybody did anything, we'd say, "He shouldn't do that." It was, "Judge not." And I mean, it was just ridiculous that we would say this. We didn't even know where it was in the Bible. We didn't know who said it. It was Jesus. We didn't know whether we thought maybe it was in the Ten Commandments. We were just clueless, but we're like quoting this Bible verse like we knew what it meant. And so with that, this is one of these verses that's so misunderstood. So I thought it was so important that we dive in and look at this text and see exactly what Jesus was teaching here. And with that, to understand what's going on here, you have to understand the culture around them. At the time, the religious leaders were the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And these religious guys, basically, they were obsessed with rules. They just loved rules. And so what would happen would be, is if the Bible said, rest on the Sabbath. That was something it says, rest on the Sabbath. So they would take that and they would go, well, you know, what is work? What is rest? Well, what is it? And they would say, it's if you take 200 steps, that's you can take 200 steps in a day and that's still resting. But if you take 201 steps, you're working. And so they would literally have, people would have to count the number of steps they took on the Sabbath because these Pharisees and religious leaders would be like, no, that's too many steps. And they would judge them for the number of steps they were taking. Another one of these rules, they said that they had a rule for if your house burned down on the Sabbath, the number of articles of clothing you could take with you. So your house is burning down. You're like, I'm going to lose everything I own. Let me see. I can grab one extra shirt. So I guess I'll just throw this over me like this. Okay, and I can grab one tie. All right. And they would pack up as much clothing as they were allowed to, and they would run outside with it, and they would take it off. And if you grabbed one too many articles of clothing, these Pharisees, you'd be an outcast from them. Well, you grabbed 8 articles of clothing. You can only grab 7 articles of clothing. I'm sorry, but you're a sinner and there's something wrong with you. So that's the context for where this "judge not" passage came from. He's speaking to a culture that's just so obsessed with rules and people judging people based off all these absolutely ridiculous, ridiculous standards. So let's dive into the passage and see what it teaches, and keep that in mind. This is in Matthew 7, verse 1. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." At first glance, if you just look at what that verse said at face value, it would look like Jesus is saying it's always wrong to judge people. And it's just the universal, you should never judge anybody. But if you look at Jesus' example and other passages of Scripture, that doesn't seem to be the case. For example, look at this verse right here. This is from Matthew 23. He's talking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. This is from Matthew 23. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Verse 25. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Verse 26. "Blind Pharisees, you are like whitewashed tombs. Inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Verse 33, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Those are some pretty harsh words from Jesus. He called them a brood of vipers, hypocrites, greedy. He's questioning whether they're going to hell or not. I mean, he's clearly judging them based off of some standard. And he's looking at their actions and saying, nope, that's wrong. So it can't be just flat out that it's wrong to say that judging is wrong. And if you think about it, saying judging is wrong is judging judging. And so it can't be that simple. For that matter, generally speaking, most of us would say it's wrong to murder people. You know, if I go out and kill a bunch of people, I would expect for you to judge me and say, Sean, you should not have killed those people. Or if I brought a baseball bat and I ran over right over there and started hitting Taylor Thompson in the face with a baseball bat, that would probably be considered wrong. And I would expect that. You should judge me in those situations because it's wrong to do that. And so it can't be so simple as to say that just it's always wrong to judge. And Jesus is going to kind of elaborate and continue on. So this is what he says. Continuing on in verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Other translations say log there. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You know, what Jesus says there is a little bit strange, but it makes sense if you remember the context. Remember, you've got these Pharisees, these religious leaders, these teachers of the law walking around judging people for the number of steps they're taking on the Sabbath. They're judging people for putting on too many articles of clothing when their house is burning down. So these are people that are really nitpicking the way people live and looking at these little specks in their eyes. When just like all of us, they're big sinners and they've got these big logs in their eye. They're self-righteous. They think they're better than everybody else. They're unloving. So they've got these logs in their eyes hanging out of their head and they're looking around going, hey, you took too many steps today. You over there, your house is burning down. I could help you, but instead I'm going to point out you've got 8 articles of clothing on instead of 7. And that's what's going on here. These guys are just nitpicking these little details of other people's lives, little specks, when they're sinners themselves. They're unloving. They're self-righteous. They don't have a clue who Jesus is or what the Bible's really teaching. They just have it memorized. And so they've got these huge sin issues, but they're looking at these little specks in other people's eyes. And we do that exact same thing. I mean, sometimes I know a lot of Christians that say, you have to absolutely always listen to Christian music all the time. You have to wear Christian t-shirts. You can't dance. There's no dancing. There's no hand-holding. And you just start making up these rules that aren't in the Bible. And we start acting like those Pharisees. There's another way we do it. And that's when we start to judge people based off the outside. Well, they have the wrong haircut. Well, they wear the wrong style. They wear cheap clothes. They shop at Walmart. They have the wrong shoes. They listen to the wrong kind of music. You just go on and on the way we judge people based off the outside as opposed to caring about them on the inside. And when we judge people trying to hold them to God's standard, we're trying to point them towards righteousness, and that's an act of love. When we judge them based off the kind of shoes they wear, like these slick $10 shoes I have, judging them based off God's standard, that's an act of hate. I'm better than you sort of thing to do, as opposed to an act of love. And so Jesus continues on and explains this a little bit better, where he's going with this. Continuing in verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do you see what Jesus did there? At the end of the passage, he actually tells us that we're supposed to remove the speck from people's eye. It's not that we're not supposed to ever like criticize people or judge people. It's that we're supposed to do it based off the right standard for the right motives. And that's supposed to be because we love that person and we love God and we want to point them towards righteousness. So if your friend is messing up big time, they're lying to their parents, they're cheating on homework, when they're doing things that are clearly sinful, you need to be willing to point that out. Not because you hate them, not because you want to bring them down, but because you love them and you love God and you want to point them towards God and point them towards righteousness. And there's another passage in the Bible that explains this a little bit better. It's in 1 Corinthians, and this was a church that was completely messed up. I mean, just full of sin. And the entire letter is basically the Apostle Paul telling them how messed up they are and how they need to change. He's pulling the speck out of their eye. And this is what he says to them.
1 Corinthians 5, verse 12. What business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Do you see what Paul says to this church? What he tells them is that they're not supposed to be judging people outside of the church. They're not supposed to be judging non-Christians. You don't need to come up with a big list of rules that you're running around, you know, telling all your non-Christian friends, hey, don't watch that movie, don't go to that party, break up with your boyfriend, don't do this, don't do that. That's not what they need. What they need is the gospel. What they need is a relationship with Jesus. That's what non-Christians really need. They don't need a big list of rules and do's and don'ts. And then, but on the flip side, what he tells us is when we're relating to other Christians, we do need to judge each other. Or another way you might want to put it, if you don't like saying judge, is to hold each other accountable. Like I mentioned earlier, what we need is people looking at us and saying, you know, Sean, you're really messing up. You're not being nice to people. You're being kind of a jerk. And I am. I'm often a jerk. I need people to tell me that so I can stop. We need people pointing out these little areas of sin in our life so that we can better see clearly and pursue God. Pursue righteousness is what we need, and we need others to help us do that. And we need to be someone that will help others do that. I mean, confronting people is never fun. It's never easy. And so we need to be willing to do that. And I think I might have told you the story before about a time when I went to Whataburger, and it was the first time that Jennifer, who's standing right over there in the kitchen, making those pies still, we went to Whataburger, and it was the first time she ever met my friends, and so I'm there with a couple of my friends, and these pictures I'm putting up are actually pictures from that evening. And it's the first time she ever met my friends, and I'm a bit of a joker. I like to tease people. I start to act up when I'm around my friends. And so basically, Jennifer was at the butt end of all my jokes, just cracking jokes, saying things to her, and eventually she actually reaches over and she kicks me. Not like that, because she was sitting down, but she kicks me. Wow, I can kick really high. She kicks me off of the booth because I'm being such a jerk. And I go over to refill my drink. I'm filling it up. And my friend Kevin, who's he's in the picture somewhere. He's this one. I'll put an arrow by him. There. Kevin walks up to me and he says, you know, Sean, you're being a real jerk. You need to treat Jennifer nicer. She just need to be nicer to her. You need to treat her like you actually care about her, not like she's a play toy or something. And he was right. I was being a jerk. And I needed him to come and confront me about it. I needed someone to do that. And I appreciate the fact that he did that. And those are the sorts of friends you need in your life. And that's what we need to be doing. When the Bible says judge not, it means don't judge based off of these made-up, man-made rules. We don't need to be making up new rules. We don't need to be judging based off a bunch of exterior things, appearance, the style of music the person likes. We don't need to judge people based on things like that. What we need are people who point us towards righteousness, and we need to point other people towards righteousness. And sometimes that means saying something is wrong. And you need to be the kind of person that's willing to tell your friends when they're doing something wrong, and you need to be willing to accept that from people when they tell you that what you're doing is wrong. So with that, you can continue discussing this in your small groups.